Baruch Hashem. Very happy and married to be here. Hashem is so kind to give us life, to give us power, to give us the will. If you remember, I explained it once, why a person needs to say the bracha Baruch Shelasta Nigoy every morning. Let's say that bracha once in the bar mitzvah, and this is it. You're a Jew, Baruch Hashem, obligated in mitzvot. Say the bracha once, and this is it. Why every day you become to be a Jew? So the answer is yes. Why? Because at night the neshama goes up, and if she's crying to Hashem Yitzvarach too much, and Hashem's mercy wakes up on her and says, this is it, I'm not sending her to that sinner body anymore. So the person wakes up in the morning with no will to serve Hashem. He doesn't want to make Netilat Yadayim anymore. This is why we're saying Modeh Ani first thing in the morning. Because if you see that we woke up and you wanted to do something for Hashem Yitzvarach, the smallest thing of them all, just have that memory somehow, somewhere, that there is Hashem in the world and you want to connect yourself to it, it means that you got the soul of a Jew today, tonight. Now you can say the bracha Shelasta Nigoy. This is why Rabbeinu is saying also that is the beginning, the basic point of happiness, that you find that connection to Hashem Yitzbarach, that you have, that you're connected to Hashem Yitzbarach. There was once, I don't remember the name of that tzaddik, but in the time of the Inquisition in Spain, there was a Jew that was related to the kingship. The queen over there, her name was, I think, Isabella.
She
was the queen. And she had a minister. One of the ministers was a Jew. He was in charge of the money. And in the time of the decree, she couldn't stop them from the church from forcing all of the Jews all to be exiled, deported, exiled, or to convert. So there were a lot of Jews that were hiding their Judaism, and a lot of Jews that convert, and a lot of Jews that took their stuff and went to look for themselves somewhere else. So there was that minister Jew, he was one of the Anusim. He accepted on himself from outside that people are going to think that he's Christian, but actually he was keeping the rules of Judaism, like a lot of other Jews that were Anusim Sfaradim. And with the time came the night of Leila Seder, of Yom Kippur, and all Jews didn't know what to do with themselves. All of those ones that are hiding their Judaism, and so they found a certain hidden place, a shelter, and they decided to pray, no matter what's going to be in that shelter. And that minister was one of those Jews. And while they were praying, in the middle of the prayer, someone told, and police came, and open soldiers came in, burst in, and took them all out, arrested all of them. And now there was a big trial, and everyone's supposed to be executed. And after being tortured a lot, and so they all came to the square, to the center of the city. Everyone are coming and to see how those criminals are going to be executed now. And suddenly comes a messenger from the palace, says that because that minister, he was so loyal to the queen for so many years, now they give him the opportunity to convert. He was exceptional, only him. All of the rest was supposed to die. They already made a huge fire. What?
Bonfire.
Bonfire in the center of the city, and everyone are I'm preparing the marshmallow and all of the Baruch Hashem, and this is it. And that, and now came a message that the Queen Isabel, she saw, she needed him. He knew how to make money, so she needed him. So she gave him another opportunity that if he, only he, gonna convert, so okay, he may stay alive. He will stay alive, gonna back to his old job. When he heard that, he left the group and he ran into the fire and jumped into the fire while screaming Shema Yisrael, and killed himself. Why? Why to do something like that? Because he saw that he will not gonna have the ability, except of Kiddush Hashem and all of other mitzvot, but every Jew, every person in the world, he's got that point that he says, it's life or death. All that I'm keeping my Judaism, all that I'm losing everything now. On Moshe Rabbeinu it's written that he's standing between Shmad LeRatzon, between all destruction to total destruction, yes, or Ratzon, all that is God, the will. And the will, you can want it. From every place in the world, you can want Hashem. This is the secret. This is the real secret of Avodat Hashem. Because all of the obligations, all of the Torah, all of the prayers, are supposed to bring you to want Hashem. This is the praise on Moshe Rabbeinu, on Yosef HaTzadik, on David HaMelech, that they passed away in Ra'avad Ra'avin, the will of all will. They wanted Hashem in a perfect way. That was their achievement. This is what that they achieved finally. That they did not want nothing else in the world except to serve Hashem. And that, no one can take from you. No one, because the will is free in your hand to choose. And it's no matter where you are at all, because if you're going to decide to connect yourself to Hashem from that moment, from that place, you're with Hashem, and Hashem is with you. Yetzirah is telling you, look at your actions, look at your deeds, look at how far you are from mitzvot. You woke up at 9, you woke up at 10, you're not doing your itbodedut right, you're not eating kosher right, you're not saying the brachot right, you're not going praying in shul, in a minyan, you're not this, you're not that, you don't know. All of those things are actually, Yetzirah is lying to you, because he's telling you that all of your level in Avodat Hashem depends in the status, in the level of your body, of your physical actions. But it's not true. Because they're judging you according to your will. Think about a person that wants to get to shul, and he's not able, but he has to go to shul, and he wants to. A person that cares about Am Yisrael, and wants to give tzedakah, and he pray about it, and he's broke, he doesn't... He's important to Hashem Yisbarach or not? Of course he is. Of course, because he wants. And another person is so rich, and also he's got gmachim, and he gives a lot of money for charity, but he doesn't care about no one at all. He's doing it for the honor. He doesn't have the will to give. He doesn't care. He's doing it because, okay, it's his master money, and he rather to stay kosher in his community, in his city. It's better to be religious. But actually at night he's all in Facebook, and he doesn't remember nothing. He doesn't remember Hashem. So he's all drunk and parties and alcohol and meat and so eating and drinking. He's full with lust and desires. And he donates $1 million every month to charity. It's not important. Be'emet, it's not important. It doesn't count nothing. When I was once, I spoke with Rav Shalom on a certain person that is mefitz. He's selling books of Rav, a lot of books of Rav. And we both know that person is a criminal. Literally, he's a criminal. And I asked Rav, how can it be that Borei Olam makes a person that he is so low to make such huge avatar? He's selling thousands of books. How can it be? A person mamash makes a lot, selling a lot of books. How can it be? Rav Shalom told me, in the world to come, he's got a reward, the gain in the world to come, gonna be like of a salesman, a mocher, a person that had that was selling. Not why? Because it's not his avodat Hashem to sell those books. He's selling them for honor. He's selling them for money. He's selling them because he wants something else. That's what he's gonna receive. If you have a heart to Avodat Hashem, you're going to have Avodat Hashem. If your heart is not aimed to Avodat Hashem, even if you were serving Hashem, Yitzvarach, Hashem is saying on that, Al asher lo avadetem oti besimcha. 98 curses on a person that was serving Hashem Yitzvarach with all of the dikdukim, but not with happiness, not with joy. Means not with complete faith, not with will. He was just an FFB, this is it. He was really just, this is it. He doesn't have a choice, it's a certain culture. He born into that stream, being religious, and this is it. But bottom line, he wasn't serving Hashem Yitzvarach. He was afraid of his father, he was afraid of his mother. He wanted to find a good shidduch, that no one gonna talk about him, that no one gonna know, that no one gonna... So, that was what that he was doing. He wasn't connecting himself to Hashem, so he wasn't connected to Hashem, even if he was in shul. Like we said yesterday, you can make a cross out of water. If you carve a cross out of the ice, you took water and you made a cross. Now if a person gonna bow to that cross, this is it, he was worshipping idols. And it's the same water that you can revive a life of a thirsty person, you can give him life. Same water, but different thoughts. Different thoughts.
It can be a mikveh.
It can be a mikveh. It can be everything. Exactly. Exactly. Same water can become to be a mikveh. It depends on the thoughts. It can take you into the world and can take you out from the world on the spot. It depends in your heart. What do you wish? What do you want? And that secret is so important for us to know. That with all of what that we're going through, you have to remember that the real connection that you have to Hashem is out of love, is out of spiritual bonding, connection. And that is the thing that you need to nurture. This is the thing that you need to build. This is the need that you need to stabilize. Those are the things that you need to pray on them. To want Hashem. To want Hashem in Mesirut Nefesh, no matter what's going to happen to you in your life. Who cares? Yetzer, I'm gonna tell you stories. Oh, but you're late every morning, you're not learning enough, you're not this, you talk Lashon Hara. All of those things that happened to me, really, they did happen to me. Why they happened to me? Because I'm used to it. Because I grew up in a certain way. Yesterday I sat with my wife and we had a very nice, amazing conversation and we talked and I confessed to her on a lot of things from my past and I shared with her, I talked to her. I found a certain... And you see that in the place that you reveal the most hidden sins of yours, you are zakai. Zakai.
Innocent.
You're innocent. You tell them the things that for you, in the back of your head, it was the worst things that you ever done in your life. And you share, you do tshuva on them, you confess, you tell to your best friend, and you explain why you done that. And it's not a sin anymore. Who can blame you? Who can blame you? Who can blame you? This is why always when I'm talking to guys that are not married and they're coming, and also girls, women that are coming and sharing and telling on their past, on their stories, and they're chasing themselves and blaming themselves. I was doing this, I was doing that. I'm telling them, you don't see it at all from the right angle. Borei Olam looks at it in a total, total, total different way. Borei Olam sees his child and he says, my child, he wants to be loved. He wants to be hugged. He wants to receive compliments. He wants a little bit of honor. He wants to feel warm, love, kind, kindness. He wants... This is what that you were looking for, even in the worst places. Even if you went to the lowest, 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 lowest places, the truth, that you were only looking for a little bit of love, little bit of compassion, little bit of hope, little bit of confidence, little bit of small things. This is what you were doing. If you're going to check yourself with eyes of truth, you don't need to be righteous for that. You just need to judge yourself until the end. Ask yourself, why you were doing it? You were not going to say, because I was a sinner. No, in the church, they're going to tell you that. Because you were a sinner, and now you need to bring 2 bottles of wine, and they're going to forgive you. In the church, it can happen. In the real world of tshuva, really to confess, to stand in front of Hashem Yitzbarach, Maya sanar velo yachta. Could you stop yourself when you were 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old, 12 years old, 15 years old, 16, even when you were 30, and in that day that you were 30, you had a mind of a 15 years old kid? This is what you were. You haven't developed, you haven't grown, because all of the traumas and fears, and no one taught you, and you never had a long, deep conversation on the purpose of life, what to do, what you're supposed to do, what you can achieve, your powers. You were not aware to nothing. They just told you, look, women, look, money, look, you need to be strong, you need to be powerful, you need to be violent, you need to curse, you need to be a joke, you need to be a clown. If you're going to be so funny, people are going to love you. If you're going to have the most amazing girlfriend, people are going to respect you. You're going to enjoy from it. The worst lie of them all. You're going to enjoy being with her. It's not fun. What? Which fun? Only suffering. Only miserable. Only people cursing the day that they had that girlfriend, that they had that relationship. They don't know what to do. They cannot forget. They don't know what to do, and they blame themselves. So what are you gonna do? You were just a poor guy. You were just suffering so much. And Hashem Yitbarach got that one eye of mercy. Chad ena derachameh. This is how He checked the world. This is how He judged the world, with one eye of rachamim. One eye of rachamim, ena derachameh. This is it. Pekicha, ayin pekucha, an open eye of mercy. This is it. This is how Hashem sees the picture. This is how Hashem sees the world. Because, and everyone with his logic can understand it very easily. Because if you're going to check the world and the amount of sins, avorot, avonot, pshaim, crimes that people are making, are doing today, the world is a lot worse than before of Sodom and Amorah, before of the flood. A lot worse than it was before the flood. Today with the internet, a person can sin in the internet in an hour more than a person would sin in a lifetime. More than a person would sin in a lifetime. Today a person can sin in the internet in an hour, in YouTube, in Facebook, in an hour. You can ruin more than a person can build in a lifetime. In an hour. And there are people that are addicted. There are people that are 24/7 in front of the computer. What can you do? So why Bora Olam is not destroying the world? Why Bora Olam is not bringing the flood? Why Bora Olam is not demolishing everything? Why? Because it's not what that he wants. It's not his will. It's not what that he sees. Adrabah. When you see that from all of that darkness, suddenly there is a glimpse of light, a spark of light. Mm-hmm. Someone wakes up, someone says, Tate, someone says, Father, someone says, Hashem, please, Hashem. You don't know how much it means. You don't know how much it means. You don't know how much it means. How much it means in the eyes of a father that haven't saw his child for 20 years. You haven't met your son, your daughter for 40 years. 40 years she was lost in India, in Thailand, in Los Angeles, in everywhere. She was lost 40 years. 40 years she haven't called you. 40 years she haven't made no email, no phone call. And suddenly she's writing nonsense. She's writing, first message, I need money. Father, I need money. You have a celebration, a bigger celebration than that day? After 40 years that you haven't heard from her, she needs money. This is not what that you wish. It's not the relationship that you wish to have with your daughter that was lost for 40 years. But who cares? This is the bridge. First step, second step, third step. Here, I'm wiring you. We'll be in touch. First of all, you immediately $1,000, $2,000. You're not thinking immediately. Bora Olam is doing the same. How you have parnasa? How I have parnasa? Because I'm righteous. We know we're not righteous. So how you have parnasa? Because Hashem Yitbarach, He wants to see you. Because Hashem Yitbarach knows that if He was not going to give you parnasa, for sure He's not going to see you. So He's supplying. So He's giving, and He's helping, and you say thank you, and you appreciate, and a little bit more, and more, and more, and your confidence, and your faith is getting stronger. And you see, oh, it was Hashem that gave me the money, and suddenly after 40 years you say, oh, my father, even though that I hated him so many years, but I see that he cares. Immediately when I told him that I need money, so he wired, so I'll write another text, I'll tell him thank you. And from that thank you, you have how are you. And from that how are you, you have fine. And Baruch Hashem, and thank you, and more. And maybe I'm going to be in the area in Pesach, and suddenly you can meet. And then the relationship comes back. How? Why? Because Hashem is merciful.
Because Hashem is so kind. Because immediately when he hears something, he cares. And we need to appreciate that. We need to know that every small thing that you do in Avodat Hashem counts. You're not supposed, the person always looks Kadima in front of him, forward, to the future, forward, and he's saying, hey, I can achieve so much, and where am I holding? I was supposed to finish Shas until today. 10 years in Tshuva, you can finish Shas easily. One page of Gemara a day, I could be in the second half or second Shas already. And I haven't completed the Shas, and not finishing Shulchan Aruch, and what's going to be with my eyes? And in Itbodedut, I could achieve so much, and I'm so lazy, and... It's not the way. It's not the right way. It's not the right way. You need to look on what did you achieve, not on what did you lost. What did you lost? You lost it. On what you're looking. You don't have it to look at it. You lost it. You lost 20 years. You lost 40 years. Okay, I agree. You lost them. There is no loss that is worse than what that you lost. Okay? Let's mamash say it out loud. You lost. It's a horrible loss. Amazing. There's nothing to do with it. You cannot bring it back. Okay, so move on. You cannot bring it back. This is the conclusion. It's the right thing. I have a friend, I had a friend, I hope he's my friend. I don't know if he's my friend anymore. That he called me once and he said that he, Mama, she hates life and he doesn't want to live anymore and he wants to commit a suicide and he's, Mama, she finished already, it was enough and... Everything. I spoke with another friend without mentioning names. He doesn't know him also, but I just shared it with him. I told him, you know, a friend of mine called me, told me he wants to kill himself. And so he told me he's right in everything except of the conclusion. Life stinks. You're right. But it doesn't mean that you need to kill yourself. You need to work on yourself. You need to have faith. And then, Baruch Hashem, you're going to find Hashem Yitbarach in your life. When you don't have Hashem Yitbarach, Rabbeinu is saying, "Mi she'en lo emunah, chayav enav chayim." If you don't have faith, you cannot call your life life. It's not life when you don't have Hashem. When she was cheating you, and they betrayed you, and they stolen from you, and you don't have no hope, and now you need to do all from the beginning. Who wants life like that? You're right. You're right. But if you know that it's all for the good, you don't care about nothing, and you can start over immediately on the spot. Rabbi Chaim Vital. That he had a lot of mistakes in his Avodat Hashem. He's testifying on himself. He was sinning. He was making sins. He was sinning. He was chotei in a lot of things. He was doing tshuva on it. He was a huge Talmid Chacham. He was a huge righteous man. But he had his fallings. He was falling. And one time he said to Ari HaKadosh, how can it be that you tell me that I'm righteous if I'm falling so many times? So he told him, you should know. Your soul is coming from the roots of the soul of Nishmat Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva's soul is coming from the neshama of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And both of them, I don't know what's the source for that. Maybe it's a Gemara, I don't remember seeing it. On Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that he also was an Am Haaretz for 40 years of his life. But it's written in the praises of Rabbi Chaim Vital. It's written here. On Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, that he was the Nasi of Am Israel. That for 40 years of his life, like Rabbi Akiva, he was an Am Haaretz. I don't know the source for that on Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. On Rabbi Akiva, it's written in the Gemara, but Rabbi Chaim Vital, it's enough of an evidence, so it's okay. And he said, because you're coming from their soul, from the soul of Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, and from the soul of Rabbi Akiva, that are both coming from the root of the souls of Yosef HaTzadik, Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef, Akiva ben Yosef. So being coming from the soul of Yosef HaTzadik, this is why you have to go through darkness. And they're not angry, no complaints at you that you're going through those darknesses in your life. It was obvious that you're going to sin. No one is angry. The tshuva, move on in your life. It's not damaging your Avodat Hashem. As it's the same. Can you change your luck? You can change your life? You can change your history? No. So now that this is the reality, this is who that you are, you have to accept it, that it was the will of Hashem. And if Hashem wanted it for you, so it means that it's the best. Hashem wanted it. Hashem, the Creator, the Avrahaman, Father of Mercy. He wanted you to fall and fail and do whatever you've done. And things that you don't remember, and you're going to remember in a few years when you're going to be a little bit more sober. You're going to wake up to remember what really you were doing over there. But Hashem wanted that also. Hashem wanted that also. You do tshuva on tshuva. Why Hashem wanted that? Because only like that you can buy humility. There is a person that he is humble, that his body is humble. So he can humiliate himself in the field. He's got that ability to humiliate himself even without sinning. He's going, he's standing in front of Hashem, he sees the greatness of Hashem, he becomes to be shy, he becomes to embarrass, he becomes to do tshuva. Immediately he's doing tshuva. Why? Because he is a humble person. But a person that his body is strong, is stubborn, is arrogant, he cannot do tshuva until he's humiliated. This is why Hashem is humiliating us, that we're going to do tshuva. But Hashem doesn't care. Hashem doesn't care. Hashem is not angry. Hashem doesn't care. Just, He has to bring you to the purpose that you're going to be humble, that you're going to surrender, that you're going to say, thank you Hashem, it's all you. Now you can see. Because the radical change is so radical, the change is so radical, because mamash, He took you from the pit, from the filth, from the darkness, from the depths of hell, and from that place He brought you to Eretz Israel, to Jerusalem, to learn in yeshiva, to be avrech, to have a family, to have children. You say, hey, something happened here. It's not a natural process that happened with me. I have to have the hand of supervision inside of my life. So, from that you see the edges, you see the kitzoniyut. Yes, I say that.
Extremism
of your life. From that you wake up to say there is a creator, there is Hashem. And without it, you wouldn't wake up. If you would just have a regular, calm, religious, holy life, you wouldn't wake up. Like that you can see thousands and thousands of religious people that are not waking up. Why? Because they're arrogant. Because they have their shul, they have their sidre limud, they're learning, everything is cool, everything is quiet, they have their panasa. They're not waking up to seek for Hashem Yitbarach. If you see Hashem Yitbarach, it means that Hashem Yitbarach shows His face to you, reveals His face to you. When Borei Olam said, Hastar Astir Panai, I'm going to hide myself in a Hastara, that's inside of Hastara, means I'm going to hide the fact that I'm hiding my face from you. You cannot see Him. Moshe fainted. Moshe fell on the floor, fainted. This is it. If Hashem going to hide the fact that He's hiding His face from you, you cannot find Him. No way in the world you can find Him. This is what goes on in the world. You talk to people, you tell Him, Hashem, like I told you myself, like you can tell on yourselves before of the tshuva, Hashem, Yom Kippur, Shabbos. Who cares? Radical people. Ancient people, Atikim, who cares? Imaginations. Sick people, crazy people. They don't know that the downtown and the center of the city, they don't know clubs, they don't know alcohol, they don't know drugs, they don't know women, they don't know the beach, they don't know trance music, they don't know house parties, they don't know ecstasy, LSD. They never heard on the new generation. They don't know. They haven't heard. They're ancient people. You're talking about old people. You're talking about people that haven't developed. You don't know what you're talking about. You know what is an after party in Amsterdam. You know what you're talking about. Wake up, wake up. You know cocaine. You don't know nothing. You never touched drugs. You know cocaine. You know crystal. You know cocaine. You know, you ever tried it? If you haven't tried it, you cannot talk. You don't know nothing in your life. This is a place that a person is so deep that he's not aware to the depths that he's at. You ever been to Vegas? You haven't been to Vegas. You can talk if you haven't been to Vegas. You can talk. How can you talk? Have you been to Vegas, Obi? You cannot talk. He was hitchhiking through Vegas.
He's underage.
So you cannot talk. Why you cannot talk? You cannot talk because they're so deep that they're not aware to the depth that they are at. So in a place like that, you cannot wake up. And we were there and we woke up. How you woke up? How you woke up? Because of charity? Because of what? Or because of Tfilat Shmona Esrei? Because of your long itbodeduyot over there in Vegas? Because of what? Because Borei Olam had mercy on you. Only because of the mercy of Hashem. This is why you cannot criticize no one, and you cannot talk about no one, and you cannot know who is no one. And if Rabbi Chaim Vital had his failures, and if Rabbi Akiva had his failures, And no one achieved the level of Rabbi Akiva. When Moshe Rabbeinu saw, Borei Olam shown Moshe Rabbeinu a sight of Rabbi Akiva teaching the Avrichim in the Yeshiva, the Tanaim, the generation of the Tanaim, Moshe Rabbeinu was weak. Moshe Rabbeinu almost fainted because he saw the greatness of Rabbi Akiva. That Rabbi Akiva started his tshuva when he was 40. And if you think that you cannot start your tshuva when you're 40, it's only because you don't have faith in yourself. Also, Rabbi Akiva didn't have faith in himself. And his wife told him. He came to his wife and he told her, everyone are laughing at me. Everyone are making fun of me in the school, in the Talmud Torah, in the cheder. What she done? She took a donkey that they had, a donkey. She took that donkey. She put earth on the back of the donkey. She went to the side, to the gate of the city where all of the people entering the city. She took seeds and she planted on the back of the city, on the earth that she put over there, and she started to water it. And people were laughing on the daughter of Kalbat Savua, making fun of her. Everyone was laughing. Crazy laugh. After one day, and she's watering a donkey. She's planting flowers, vegetables on the back of a donkey. Is there a better joke than that? The daughter of Kalbat Savua, the richest person in that town, almost in the generation, and she's a wacko, a cuckoo, this is it. Everyone are laughing on the floor. Everyone are laughing on the floor. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, and she kept on going and watering that earth, watering that donkey. After 3 days, people stopped laughing at her. She came back to Rabbi Akiva, told him, you see, after 3 days, they don't care about me anymore. Also, you can go. 1 day they're gonna laugh at you. 2nd day they're gonna laugh at you. In the 3rd day, no one cares about you. Who you think you are? The people are gonna laugh at you for weeks, for months. Who cares about you? The arrogance of the person doesn't let him develop in Avodat Hashem. But if you decide, Poeshev ki vitiya, this is what I want to do. I want to learn Torah. Like Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, Rabbi Eliezer ben Orkanus. Another best example. Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, Rabbi Eliezer ben Orkanus. Only when he was 27 he started to do tshuva. He was crying. His father came to him, tell him, why you cry? He said, I want to learn Torah. He told him, why I need to learn Torah? You're going to get, maybe you need to work in an easier. He was working between the rocks, between the stones. He was plowing on the between the rocks on the mountain. So he told him, come, and plow on the flat, in the Mishol. After 2 weeks he came, he sees him sitting like that on the plow. He asked him, why are you crying? Again, why are you crying? He said, I want to learn Torah, father. Rabbi Eliezer ben Orkanus. He told him, why you need to learn Torah? Go and get married, and then your children, you will send them to learn Torah. I heard Rav Noach Weinberg explain that once. Why? Why doesn't let him? Your Horkanus, you know how rich was Horkanus? He had fields, he had cities that would belong to him. Why don't let your child learn Torah? Why not let him learn Torah? He was 27. Rav Noach Weinberg, Zatzal Alav Shalom, he said, because, with all due respect to Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus, he was dumb. He couldn't learn. He was already 27 and he wasn't married. And he couldn't learn Torah. Horkanus tried to teach him. And then he is crying again and again and again, and Eliyahu Navi comes. Eliyahu Navi comes to him and sees him crying and asks him, why are you crying? Why are you crying? So he told him, I want to learn Torah. Why Eliyahu Navi is not teaching him? Eliyahu Navi tells him, go learn from Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Now we can see why from Yochanan ben Zakkai. Because in the book of Rabbi Chaim Vital it's written that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was also a Baal Tshuva. This is why you can go to learn only from the Gdol Ador, from the president, Nasi, prince of Am Israel, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai in Jerusalem. He went to him, he knocks on his door, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai opens the door, tell him, what are you doing here? He said, I want to learn Torah. He said, your father haven't taught you Torah? He said, he tried. I couldn't catch nothing. He sat with him and taught him to say Kriyat Shema in Birkat Amazon, two mitzvot midoraita. Told him, all right, now you can go. He said, I'm not moving nowhere. Told him, why? He said, I want to learn Torah. He said, I just taught you. He said, I want to know all of the Torah. All of the Torah. This is the secret of a Baal Tshuva. You need to hold the wheel and not to get loose, not to lose the wheel, not to lose it, not to open your hand at all. Not to open your hand. You want it? Go for it. So it's going to take you 80 years, 70 years, 90 years, 120 years. But do you care? Do you care? Why do you care? Why do you care? After 120 years, you're going to go out from this world that you cleaned everything, that you fixed everything. What do you care? It's not enough for you to achieve that in the age of 70? No, today. Why today? I need to finish Shas. Today you want to finish Shas? Shas can finish you if you're going to try to finish it today. You cannot carry all Shas on your head. You don't have the ability. I talked to a friend of mine. I told him about a certain option that you're going to go and buy a house and you're going to sell that house. I gave him a very good deal. I offered to him something that someone offered to me and I didn't want him to take it because of the area. And I offered it to him. So he went and spoke with his wife, and his wife told him, I don't know, I want to live in this area and that area. And they were talking, and then he told me, what I'm going to tell her? I told him, tell her that she haven't married Rabbi Akiva, that she's married to you. She doesn't have a husband that wants to stay all day long in the yeshiva and not to move from the Gemara. It's not you. You need to move things. You need to make some business. If this is your level, that you need to be a little bit outside also, this is your level. A person cannot lie to himself to say, no, I need to be a Talmid Chacham, I'm going to be a Talmid. Yeah, you're not able to be a Talmid Chacham today. You're not able. Can you sit 8 hours in front of a Gemara and you're thirsty and thirsty and thirsty to read another line and another Chidush and you're so amazed and where are those books? Why the yeshiva doesn't have all of those books? What's going on? And the yeshiva, it's small, too small for you. Can you have that? You don't have that. So work with what it you do have. Instead of chasing after yourself and blaming yourself, oh, I'm not a Talmid Chacham. I was supposed to be a Talmid Chacham until today. Until today I could achieve this and that. It's all a lie. It's all a sheker. It's all a sheker. You couldn't achieve nothing because you have holes in your barrel. You still have holes in your barrel you cannot contain. In the moment that you learn something, you become to be arrogant. Immediately you see, going, talking, sharing, you know, this and that, and telling Gemara, the Gemara is saying this and that, and come on, do you know to teach Gemara? You know to talk Gemara? You know, you have the ability. So why are you doing it? Because you're arrogant. So if you're arrogant, you cannot contain. A vessel that contains, it's a humble person, a humble vessel that can contain. The Torah Mimidbar Matana is a free gift. If you're not holding that level, that it's all a free gift, whatever you have. Whatever you have, it's a free gift. So you cannot teach. How can you teach if you're arrogant, if you're a mountain, if you're arrogant, if you're high? If you imagine to yourself that you're high, all of the water are running to the sides from you, and nothing can stay. You cannot grow, cannot develop, nothing. This is it. You cannot. So the truth is that the person needs to accept his place and to accept the private supervision of Hashem Yitbarach on you, and to know if there was one smallest thing that was better for you than what that you have now, Hashem would give it to you. If not, you don't understand nothing in faith in Avodat Hashem. Avodat Hashem is to serve Hashem. Why are you going to serve someone? Because he's good. Even though that I don't remember from who I read it, probably now you're going to say it's a Rabbi Mikotsk, but I don't remember who was it, that he wrote that even if we would receive punishment on serving Hashem in Barach, and a reward on sinning, still the straight mind, the logic would tell to serve Hashem and to be punished on it. Even if you would be punished on it, it's more right to do that. Even if there is no reward on it. And especially when Hashem is so kind. If now you want to serve someone, you want to worship someone, why are you going to worship him? Because you see his kindness, you see his godliness, you see his love, you see his mercifulness, you see his greatness. This is why you chose to serve him. You chose to serve Hashem. You chose that thing. So if you choose out of conscience. You understand? He's good. Okay, so now if he's good, how can you blame him on bad things? If he is good, you cannot have bad things in your life. Because it cannot be that those things are bad. Why they're bad? Because of lack of faith. They're bad because you're not grabbing it that it's all from Hashem. That you don't understand that it's Hashem doing it to you in your life. I heard Rav Shalom in Shabbos morning when we went back to his home, walked with him to his house. Rav Shalom said, a huge chidush, a huge, on the brothers of Yosef HaTzadik. Like we learned already, it was hard for them to accept the greatness of Yosef. When they were young, we understood. We said, alright, let's say they were young. And he was even younger than them. So, okay, we can understand. But after it was hard for us to understand why when they came back to Egypt and they saw the greatness of Yosef, he's telling them, Ani Yosef, I made all of the troubles for you. I caused it all for you. I'm the king, and you can see the dreams, they all come true. Still, it was hard for them to believe in Yosef. How can you see that? Because they're whispering, they're talking to each other after Yaakov passed away. Now what's going to be? Maybe now we're going to revenge. Maybe now we're going to do this. Maybe now we're going to do that. And Yosef is trying to tell them, "Ani Yosef, I'm Yosef that you sold me to Egypt." Means, if I wouldn't be Yosef, I wouldn't survive here. I'm Yosef. You need to listen. I'm the tzaddik. I'm the righteous man. You need to believe in me. You need to accept me. This is what Yosef is saying to the brothers, and they're not accepting it. And Rav Shalom said a chidush on that. He said, and this is why Am Israel were suffering in the labor of Egypt. Because if their ancestors, if their fathers, the holy tribes, would accept Yosef, their children would not suffer in Egypt. Where you can learn it from? Because that Yosef, he'd been exiled before to Egypt. And he suffered all of the punishment of exile with dancing and clapping his hands, and he was all happy. And he was Ish Matzliach, and he was happy. He wasn't suffering from being in the exile. Rashi is saying that he was dancing, that he was mefazez umcharker, he was dancing and singing to himself, and he was doing long it for the duyot, and he didn't care. And if the holy brothers would cancel themselves to him, he would teach them, he would have the ability to teach them how to cross the depths of the exile. How to be in Egypt and not to suffer in Egypt. And so they would spend some years over there in Egypt. So now they had the punishment that they need to build some houses, they need to build cities. Pitom Ram says, okay, so they're going to do it. So they switch that the men should work the jobs of women, so you need to be a cook. Okay, so I'm going to be a cook. You don't care, I'm going to cook. What's the problem? If you have that, you don't care. But if you want to be a lawyer, and now they tell you that you need to be a chef, a cook, to so then you suffer. Why? There was a rabbi, I read it last week. A certain rabbi that a student came to him and wanted to complain on his wife, why the wife tells him to help in the house, and he said that was his heart. There are jobs for women and there are jobs for men. I need to go to the kollel. I'm bringing panasah. She needs to cook. She needs to clean. What she wants to. He came with that heart to that complaint to the rabbi. The rabbi already from distance got his thoughts. Told him, I cannot talk now. Please, let's meet in 3 hours in my house. I'll come to the house. When he came to the house, he saw him washing the house, the rabbi. The person saw the rabbi, the student saw the rabbi washing the house. So he told him, you wanted to say something? You wanted to tell me something?
No.
There was a few stories like that. I think it's a Chafetz Chaim you have. Or other tzaddikim here in Jerusalem, also a few stories on tzaddikim. He had a complaint. Why his wife? She's telling him to throw the garbage. So he told him, "I'll answer you tomorrow morning." And 7:30, he knocked at his door. He opens the door. He said, "I don't remember who was. You remember? The Chazon Ish, the Chafetz Chaim. Who? Rabbi Tzion Abba Shaul, giant. And he's standing over there. He said, "Rav, you need something?" He said, "I thought you need help." With taking the trash, taking the garbage. Hey, it's so hard for you to throw the garbage. Why it's so hard for you? Because you're arrogant. Because you don't want to filth your hands. Because you think your hands are so pure. Your hands are full with blood. You're talking about a little bit of garbage. Yoshua Binun now lo yamish min ha'ohel. Yoshua Binun is throwing himself into the yeshiva and he's fixing the benches and he's making cups of tea to everyone and he's helping everyone and he's asking, "Do you need something? Can I help you? What do you need to do?" And the mefarshim are saying that what was he doing to fix the benches over there? He was fixing to every person the right seat according to his level. Means if he was a good student, so an important student, so he was putting him in front. And he was doing things. He put his heart into his avodah. What, he wasn't learning? He was fixing the benches. He was sitting also, learning in the classes. He was also hearing. With one ear, he heard Moshe Rabbeinu. With another ear, he was listening to the public. What people need. Oh, there is a person standing over there. No, here, come. There is a seat. You can sit here. He had a heart. He had a heart. You have a heart, you can receive light. You don't have a heart, you cannot receive light. Your heart is contaminated, full with junk. You cannot have light. full with lusts and desires. You want to be a chief rabbi, you want to be important, you want to be rich, you want to succeed, you want to have a beautiful woman, you need to have panasa, you want to know all shas. It's all desires. Even if your desire is to learn Torah, you're still a Baal Ta'ava. You still have a desire to serve Hashem Yitbarach. It's in Mesirut Nefesh. You give Hashem everything. You say, Hashem, whatever you want. You want me to wash floors? I'm going to wash floors. You want me to clean streets? Rabbi Yehuda Zev Lebovich, when Rabbi Yechiel Tzvi, he was Menaker Rechovot, cleaning streets in Tel Aviv. Rabbi Yosef Voltoch, he was cleaning streets in Tel Aviv. You're talking about Tanaim. Rabbi Yehuda Zev Lebovich, one of his students, asked him what was his intention, Kavanat HaLev, when he was cleaning the streets. He said, I was hugging Eretz Israel with my broom, with my matate. Out of Ahavah le'Eretz Israel. How you can hug Eretz Israel? He was menakeh, cleaning. How, what is that? Sweeping the streets of Eretz Israel. This is how he was hugging. With that intention, you can clean the streets. Sweep the streets, and it's going to be so important. You have the problems. Why? Because you're arrogant. You're full of yourself. You're full of imaginations, like you have a certain being. But if you're going to throw all of that, you're going to throw all of that, all of those imaginations, you're going to be so happy. You're going to have Hashem Yitbarach with you. And then, it doesn't matter what you're going to do. You can be the lowest person in Am Yisrael, and to glow like a lighthouse. To be so happy. To have Hashem Yitbarach with you. To have Hashem Yitbarach with you. Who was Yosef in Egypt? He was nothing. He was nothing. He was a slave. They sold him for shoes, for a pair of shoes. He went to Egypt. He was a slave in the house of a certain minister. He'd been thrown to the prison without trial. For life sentence. This is it. He was a dead man. But he was glowing. Everyone could see. The minister, the one that was in charge on the prison, saw that Yosef is succeeding in everything. Potiphar before saw that Yosef succeeds in everything that he's doing. Why? Because he had Hashem. You can be a slave in Egypt, been sold for a pair of shoes, and to have Hashem with you. And everyone looks at you and you glow and you succeed. Why? Because you're humble. Because you're humble, because you know that Hashem Yitbarach is with you. This is the beginning of our Torah, of our conversation today. Again, go to that place. Your connection to Hashem is your will. If you want to have Hashem Yitbarach in your life, you have Him. You don't need to do nothing for that. Now, you have confusions? Okay, you need to learn Torah. You have questions? Okay, you need to go ask a Rav. You have doubts? Okay, you need to go to confirm with yourself if there is Hashem or not, Chas Shalom, in the field, in your Itbodediot. No problems! But if you're going to come to that decision, I am with Hashem, and nothing going to separate us, this is it. Nothing going to separate you. This is it. In all matters of life, in all aspects of life, you're going to have Hashem in your parnasa. If you're rich and if you're poor, you're going to have Hashem in parnasa. You're not going to suffer from your poverty. You can have Hashem Yitbarach in your shiduchim. If you're married, if you're not married, you have Hashem Yitbarach with you. Tov Hashem lakol. Hashem is good for everything. Hashem is good for parnasa. Hashem is good for health. Hashem is good for shalom bayit. Hashem is good for being a talmid chacham. Hashem is good for everything. If you have something not good in your life, it's because that you don't have Hashem Yitbarach in that place. That you don't believe that it's Hashem Yitbarach in that place. This is why you need to take that scene, that situation, that part of your life to the field. And to talk about it with Hashem. To tell Him, let me see that it's You. Let me see that it's You. Let me see that those difficulties, it's You. Let me see that You are Hashem. Like that the holy tribes couldn't see that it was Yosef until Yosef is coming and telling them, Ani Yosef, also Hashem. Going to come to Am Yisrael and going to tell them, Ani Hashem. Ani Hashem Elokecha. I am Hashem. I am Hashem. It wasn't a police officer, it was me. It wasn't your wife, it was me. It wasn't your husband, it was me. It wasn't the bank account clerk in the bank, it was me. It wasn't a parnasa, it was me. It wasn't your lust, your desires, it was me. It wasn't your parents, it was me. You need to come to that. How are you going to come to that? If you're going to want. If you're going to want to have a perfect, complete faith, to go every day to the field. And every day to check all of your life. If Hashem was there or not. On that do tshuva. Hashem, I forgot You during Shachrit. I forgot You when I was eating. I forgot You when I was sleeping. Rabbeinu was remembering Hashem when he was asleep. He woke up and he said, I was sleeping on that issue of left-handed, of Iter Yad. He was sleeping, thinking Torah while he was asleep. This is how he was asleep. You go to sleep. Who's going to save you? Thank you, Rabbi Yisrael. Chazak u'varach.